Ensemble, open your Bible tonight to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. That was a blessing. I hope you've never gotten over the love and grace and salvation that you have and I have in Christ Jesus. I hope you've never gotten over the cost that God had to pay in order to give us free salvation. If you found your place in Luke chapter 15, I shall ask that you stand with me and we shall begin to read in verse number 11. ever so often I'm going to come back and preach a message about the prodigal. I love the story. I don't love the first part of the story, but it's a true story about sin taking a man down. But oh, how I love the end of the story and the love and forgiveness of the Father. And I read this and I preach from it, and I'm reminded again and again, that's a picture of my life and what God has done for me. It's a picture of how that as a son, I've broken his heart, gone away from him. But he's always there waiting to forgive us and receive us back if we'll come back sincerely in repentance and faith. I'm not talking about losing my salvation. I'm talking about getting down and living like a Christian ought not live. I'm talking about backsliding. And I want to speak tonight on the subject how the prodigal made it all the way to the hog pen. You know, he didn't leave one day and end up in the hog pen the next day. But how the prodigal made it all the way to the hog pen. The Bible says, and Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he, the father, divided unto them, his two sons, his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. And I'll say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Every time I read this, I read about what the son has planned to say to the father. And then I read what he actually got to say to the father. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And that's all the father would let him get out. That's all he needed to get out. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. We'll leave off reading there, and I want to, as I said, speak to you tonight on the subject how the prodigal made it all the way to the pig pen. Father, help me tonight as I bring this message. I sure would like to be a help to some young man or some young lady or older man or older lady that's on their way to the big pen. You don't have to be a teenager or a young man or woman in their 20s to end up in the hog pen. Lord, I've dealt with people of all ages who have been there because of sin doing its horrible, ugly work in their lives. Help us to understand that the hog pen is the normal ending, normal place for the prodigal to end up just before he dies, just before his life comes to an end. No one's ever made better because of sin. No one's ever been elevated and promoted in God's sight because of sin. Sin takes us down. Sin steals our testimony. It steals our life, our days, our joy, our peace. It steals our resources. It steals our families away from us. God, I wish we could see sin like it really is. I'm amazed at how many people are duped or deceived by the devil into thinking sin is fun and wonderful and not harmful. Now, Lord, help me to be a blessing and a help to someone here tonight. In Jesus' name, I pray that someone on their way to the pig pen will come to themselves and say, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm not worthy to be thy son. I pray someone will get up tonight and come back home. Come back and get right. Come back and renew relationship with the Heavenly Father that they have forsaken. Speak to our hearts, and we ask it in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to notice verse 15 and 16 tonight. The Bible says, "And when the prodigal went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, that's the far country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine." And this prodigal would have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. This young man started out on his journey as a hero in his own life and own eyes because he had told his daddy how it was and said, I want what's mine. And he ended up a zero. Ended up in a hog pen. The lights are no longer flashing. Friends are not gathering around him. There's no joy. There's no peace. There's no finances. There's no comfort. There's no future where sin had brought him. He made it all the way to the bottom. And that's where sin takes you. Sin takes us on a journey all the way to the bottom and to failure. Now, what is a pig pen? How many of you have ever been to a hog pen? Would you raise your hand? How many of you have never been to a hog pen? Well, let me tell you what a hog pen is. A hog pen is a place where pigs live. It's a place where a farmer keeps his pigs and his hogs. And they feed the hogs there. And the hog lives in swallow. He lives in a wallow. He lives in mulch and mire and manure. He doesn't care if it's in the hog trough where he feeds or if it's in the wallow where he wallows. A hog pen just loves. A hog just loves the hog pen. That's his nature. That's his nature. I've never been to a hog pen that smelled good. When I was in Bible college right over here on the hill at the old Arlington, at the old Bible Baptist Seminary, years ago, back in the 60s, across division was a hog farm. The old farmer had been there for years when that was just country before the city had grown and expanded. And here we are sitting in our classes and a south wind is blowing. And we enjoyed the aroma of the hog pen. It was distracting. It was bad, bad, bad. Well, it's not an accident that God uses this picture to tell us that's where prodigals end up. That's where young men and women or old men and women that take their journey away from the Heavenly Father to get out on their own and live according to their own rules and their own standards, that's where they end up. They do not end up in God's children, Christian, running from God and running away from the authority of parents and the church does not end up in ivory palaces. They do not end up in gourmet restaurants. They end up in hog pens, about to eat what the hogs ate. Now, there is a hog pen awaiting every person's life. It's out there. It's awaiting your life, your children's life, your wife or husband's life. It's just waiting on you to start that journey with a series of wrong steps. Series of disobedience to God. A series of rebelling against the rules. And you're on your way, and if God doesn't stop you, if you don't come to yourself like the prodigal did in the hog pen, you're going to end up in the hog pen. A lot of people never get out of the hog pen. Christians die all the time backslidden in their sin. Away from God. Their life ruined, their testimony gone. Mama and daddy are weeping over their wasted, sordid lives because they turned their back on mom and dad and on God and went out after the world and pleasures in the world. Now, no one gets to the hog pen in one step. There's a series of steps a person must take before they end up in the pig pen. I've never met a person that made one bad decision and immediately was in the hog pen. It's a series of steps a person takes that ultimately brings them to the hog pen. Now I want you to think with me tonight for just a few moments as we examine this story and see if we can answer the question. How this prodigal made it all the way from the father's house where there was plenty to the hog pen where he's eating slop with the hogs. Let me say, first of all, the first step, I believe, toward the pig pen is when we withdraw from our God-given authority and take our life in our own hands. Now, I realize every young person here is thinking, man, I want to get out of the house and do my own thing. But you better thank God for a home where mom and dad cares and have some rules and some set standards and barriers to separate you and protect you from the world. This young man said in verse number 12 and 13, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And the father divided unto them his living. You know, I don't think the father was always right on everything here. I don't know that I'd have given my son or my daughter their inheritance before I died. But he did. He said, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living, gave both his sons their inheritance. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into the far country, and there wasted his substance in riotous living. This young man couldn't wait to get out from under the authority of mom and dad. They couldn't wait. He couldn't wait to get out from under the rules. Be assured that Satan will always provide you encouragement to do wrong. Always some rebel will say to you, I'd get out of that house if I was you. There's always some other teenager or some other adult saying, I wouldn't stand for that a minute. I'd leave. I'd just pack up and leave. I'd take what's mine and get out of that house. I wouldn't live by those rules. You're old enough to make it on your own. You need to have your freedom. That's the lie that the devil's always willing to present to someone. Now, I want you to ask the question, yourself a question. Why did God put dads and moms in charge of kids and not kids in charge of dead moms? Some of you have houses in a mess because you're letting your kids run the show. And they're going to be a mess in your home, and then it's going to get worse when they leave your home. Now, why did God put mom and dad in charge instead of the kids? And let me go a step further. God didn't put a 16-year-old in charge of the home either. Well, after all, I'm a teenager. I'm grown. A little tutti-frutti. You couldn't make your own living. Honestly, if it wasn't for mom and dad providing for you, you'd end up in the hog pen. Let me tell you why God put mom and dads in charge of kids and not kids. Kids don't have wisdom that comes with age. Now, you may be saved, teenager, and you may love God, and you may be trying to do right, and you may have a measure of wisdom, but you don't have the wisdom to make it through life yet, honestly, with God's blessings on you. Wisdom comes from a right relationship with God and age living in this old world trusting God. And you just haven't been there long enough. You probably don't have the relationship with God mom and dad has. And then the second reason is you don't have life experience like mom and dad. Isn't it amazing? The only way you can get life experience is by living life. You don't get it by turning 13 or 14 or 15 or 16 or 17 or 18. It comes with life experience. You're not going to be the man of wisdom at 20. You're going to be at 40 and 50 because of life's experience. When you live life in this old world, you see a lot of things and experience a lot of things, and you ought to be wise enough to know just by other people's failures things you ought not do. You haven't been there yet. The only experience you have is what you've got on your cell phone and on television and on the internet. And that's usually not enough to get you through life. The biggest muscles in your body is not your brain, it's your thumb. You don't have life experience. That's the reason God didn't put you in charge in the home. You haven't lived long enough to develop the character God wants you to have to be a leader and to raise a family and to build a home. It takes time. And if you've been blessed to be in a good Christian home with the right kind of mom and dad that have taught the Scripture and taught right and wrong and practiced right and held you accountable, then you have been blessed and you're further along in developing good character than many. Most kids, 16, 17, 18, 20 years old, don't have the character they're going to need to make it through the tough times in life. You don't have the character you need to say no when temptation comes along and Satan raises his ugly head. There's another reason God didn't put you in charge. You don't have the knowledge of God's Word. And if you're going to be the kind of parent you ought to be and the kind of husband you ought to be and the kind of wife you ought to be, you better know something about this book. And you don't learn it overnight. Dear God, I've been a Christian since 1954 and I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I'm still gaining things that, my God, I didn't know that. Now, if that's true at age 70 for me, How much of the Bible does a 16-year-old know? Now thank God if they're learning and growing. That's wonderful. But God didn't entrust a family to you. God is not going to entrust a church to you or a business. God didn't intend for little kids to have children. God intends for them to grow and mature and learn so they can be the right kind of parent to teach them. You know, when we start rebelling against our God-given authority, we're in trouble. I've told you many times that when I left home, my daddy pulled me aside and told me three things. He said, "Son, I want you to remember three things." Now, this is from an old farm man that didn't finish the first grade, but is saved, and he had character. And he paid his bills, and he did right and lived right, provided for his family. He said, "Son, first thing I want you to know is always do more than you're paid for, and you'll always have a job. There'll always be somebody that'll want you to work for you, for them, except unions. If you do more than you're paid for, they'll find you. They want to get rid of you. Their rule is do less than you're paid for so they can hire somebody else to help." Well, I better get off of that. But my old country daddy said, "Son, always do more than you're paid for. Give them more than 8 hours work, and you'll always have a job." Secondly, he said, "Son, remember, no matter where you go in life and what you do, there's always somebody over you. There's an authority over you. So respect authority." I still say yes, sir, and no, sir, to a policeman unless it's a policewoman. Then I say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Why? Because they're authority. I still say yes, sir, and no, sir, to people that are older than I. That's the reason I always say yes, ma'am, to Mrs. Zeisman. I'm sorry. Daddy instilled that in us. And he required it of me. If I didn't respect authority, he'd take me to the barn and we'd have a talk. And he did the talking. And then the third thing he said was, "Son, remember, if you play with skunks, you'll get skunk on you." Now that's Daddy's way of saying, "Son, you can't play with sin without it messing up your life." I knew what he meant. But he said, "Son, somebody's always over you. And when you start pulling away from authority, you're on your way to the hog pen. It's not hard to say no to Satan when you yield to your God-given authority. Your God-given authority is a protection for you. When you begin to rebel against authority, you're rebelling against God. Satan will make life seem so much easier outside of your father and mother's authority. After all, they don't understand. They're old and out of touch with the times. And they don't trust you. And that's wisdom on their part. After all, you're almost 16 years old. You're full grown nearly. Not. That's baloney. I challenge you. Look in the Word of God and show me in the Word of God when a man, when a boy was considered a man in Scripture. It wasn't at 15, 16, 17, or 18. The devil never shows us the pig pen until it's too late for us to avoid it. Hey, mom and dad, it would be good for you to take your children and show them the result of sin. When I was a boy, my daddy took me to Canton, Texas, which is the county seat, and the county jail's there. And my daddy took me up and showed me people in jail. And he told me if I broke the law, that's where I'd end up. It scared the bejeebers out of me. I love what takes place in a prison ministry, but I don't like to go because I hear that door clanking behind me. It scares me. Daddy put that in me when I was young. It'd be great if we'd let our kids understand how ugly sin is. Let them see what alcohol will do to a man, or dope will do to a person, or immorality will do to a person. See, the devil has deceived our children in helping them to believe that sin's wonderful and fun. To avoid the hog pen, you must heed the advice of God-given authority over your life. Get used to obeying authority. There'll always be a God-ordained authority over you and me. You never grow to that place where you're beyond authority. Successful people learn to obey authority. Happy people learn to live in subjection to authority. Bible-believing people practice living under subjection to authority. Every pig pen experience reveals a life in rebellion to authority. That's where it starts. Secondly, he took another step to his hog pen when he joined himself to a crowd that was going the way of the hog pen. If I ask you, how many of you want to end up like the prodigal in the hog pen? Not one of you would raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to end up in the hog pen. And yet, you're running with the crowd on their way to the hog pen. What makes you think you can run with them and not end up where they end up? I know what you think. You think, oh, I can quit when I want to. Sin's addictive. Sin's controlling. And if you're running with that crowd, you've already been deceived by sin. It may be further along in your life than you've even thought. This crowd on its way to the hog pen is different from the way this prodigal was raised by his family back home. Their talk was different. Their dress was different. Their habits were different. Their desires were different. The places they went and the things they did were different. Let me say to you, beware of who you choose as a friend. Beware. And parents, beware of your children's friends. Well, I just let my kids spend the night over at so-and-so. Well, what do you know about them? Well, they're members of church. Do all church members do right? No. We made a rule at our house years ago, and I think it's a good rule. Kids' friends came and spent the night with them. They didn't go spend the night with friends. Well, there's one or two that we made exceptions because we knew them. We knew where they stood and what they stood for and so forth. But you better be careful. Let me go a step further. You better be careful of family members. You ever read the story of Amnon in the Bible, David's son, that raped his stepsister Tamar? In that story, here's the statement, Amnon had a friend. Amnon had a friend. Jonadab was his friend's name. And it was more than just a friend, it was David's cousin. And Jonadab, Amnon would have never raped his sister Tamar if Jonadab had not encouraged him, his friend. You better be careful of the people you run with, and you better be careful of the people your children run with. This crowd he ran with on the way to the pig pen, when this prodigal was on his way to the far country, they were not God's people. This crowd did not serve God. May I say to you, if you're one of those on your way to the pig pen tonight, you can argue that you are okay, but in your heart, you know you're wrong in your heart, and you know you're on your way to the pig pen. Bad enough for a person to go to the pig pen alone. But you know, most people that travel the trip to the pig pen take someone with them. There's some fathers and mothers on their way to the pig pen, and they're taking their family with them, taking their children with them. Be careful of the crowd you run with. He joined himself to a crowd that was going the way of the pig pen. Look in verse 13 and 14. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all he had together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want, and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And that citizen wasn't saying, son, you need to go back to your father. That citizen was saying, son, you need to go and feed my pig. Good living there. Why? Look at the table that's spread for you. There's so much, they don't put it in plates, they put it in a trough. Thirdly, another step on the way to the pig pen is seen in that he lived for today without no thought of tomorrow or the price that must be paid for today's decisions. This is one of the problems with teenagers today. Their mind, their brain, has not completely developed with the chemicals and hormones that are necessary for them to see beyond the present. And that's a medical fact. Their brain does not develop and mature so that it produces the necessary chemicals and hormones to help a person to see the dangers immediately at hand, or to think beyond the present. That's the reason kids do stupid things, like ride a motorcycle 100 miles an hour. Break an arm, doing silly things because they cannot comprehend. It's like me when I was a little boy. I'd read the funny books about Superman, and I thought that cape's what made him fly. Mama had a big old towel, man. I tied it around my neck and jumped off the barn like I killed myself. All I could see is what others had told me. I couldn't see the danger right there at hand when I hit the ground. Some of you, as young people, made decisions that has scarred your life throughout your life. Some of you are making decisions that's going to put you closer to the hog pen day in and day out. You never think about the future. You think about only the now. Instant gratification. He got his inheritance from his father, and he didn't count the cost. He just started spending. And the Bible says, and when he had spent all. Now, a mature person would have said, now, if I spend all of this every day and do everything I want to do, I'm not going to have anything to make it through life. or to tide me over to a job. He spent all. He didn't think about the future. He didn't think about the decisions that he was making. My dear friend, when you live for only today and have no thought of tomorrow, you never give consideration to decisions you're making and the outcome of those decisions, you're well on your way to the hog pen. When he had spent all, everybody forsook him. He was the last of the big spenders. When he got to the hog pen, they wouldn't share. He had to fight for their slop. You know, hogs are not the type of people that step back and say, "You go ahead and eat first. We'll wait." I'm simply saying to you, there is a hog pen out there for every life here. And you pull away from your God-given authority and you join yourself to the wrong crowd, and you begin to live for instant gratification with no thought of the consequences of decisions you're making, you're on your way to the hog pen. You're getting closer by every step. You do know that your life and your testimony is the result, the cumulative results of the decisions you make and the consequences connected with those decisions. Every decision has a consequence to it. Greatest decision Mrs. Smith and I ever made was we decided that we're going to live for God and live by the Bible and serve Him, raise our children in a Christian home. I remember as plain as day when we made that decision. As a layman, as a young man and a young woman, in church, just trying to get started off. You know, his father, this prodigal's father, had worked hard and enjoyed success, and he saved so he'd have an inheritance to leave his sons. He had something to give them. But this son took it and lived only for himself with no thought of tomorrow, and his actions, how they'd hurt those who loved him most. He was only concerned about the bright lights and the fun and the girls and the things that he could buy with what he had taken from his daddy. He never thought about the consequences, and he never thought about a daddy and mama back home that loved him and prayed for him. I wonder how many of you kids ever give two thoughts about what your actions are and how they are affecting your mom and daddy. I wonder if you've ever given any thought to how many times mama and daddy are weeping over your life and the way you're living. I wonder if you've ever given any thought to your attitude and how it breaks those who love you most heart. Breaks the heart of those who love you most. The devil always has someone to help you spend all. Here was a good time for this young man to quit and go back home. He had spent all. But he didn't stop there. He didn't have to continue on to the hog pen. He could have swallowed his pride and went to the father and said, "Father, I'm sorry. I've made a terrible mistake. I've sinned against you and against God. Please forgive me." And you know the father would have forgiven him. He should have said, when his pockets quit jingling, "This is far enough. I've made a big enough fool of myself. I'm turning around now and going home." Hey, let me stop and say to you, the famine in your life may be a warning. Go home. Go back to the Father. Let that warning be enough. Come back home. I often wonder if earthquakes and floods and tsunamis is God's way of saying, "You better listen to me. It's time to go home, come back home." I would say to you that if I lost my job, I'd stop and say, Lord, why did I lose my job? Am I turning away from authority? Am I running with the wrong crowd? Am I giving no thought of tomorrow? The price that must be paid for my decisions today. At least I'd stop and look at my heart and say, do I need to stop here? Is this God's warning saying, come back home? I'm going through physical problems. I believe I'd stop and look at my life and ask the question, do I need to go back to the Father's house? Had an automobile wreck. God spared your life. I think I'd stop and look at my life and say, have I been taking a journey away from the Father? You say, but that had nothing to do with it. It may not. But I sure don't want to avoid asking God, Lord, is this a warning? Do I need to come back home? Am I going away from the Father? The first signs of marital problems ought to be a sign that says you need to come back home. Two people that love each other enough to get married and start having marital problems is a testimony that somebody is not living their life according to God's Word and God's will. You're not treating one another like God intends for you to treat them. You say, how do you know? Because love grows when you treat each other God, like God would have you to treat each other. And by the way, girl or guy, if you choose a girl or a guy because she's cute or he's cute, and the sorry rascal is already living away from God and running away from God, you're a fool. What do you expect to get? I'll tell you what you expect. Expect the hog pen. Mom and Daddy, the first signs of a rebellious child ought to cause you to stop and take account of how you're raising your children. Maybe you need to go back to the Father yourself. Simply saying to you, there's a time when every one of us need to listen and turn around and go back home. There are times every prodigal's life comes to a stop. We ought to turn around and go back home. The first cigarette stop. The first cigarette, we ought to stop and realize that there's a pig pen in our future. If you can be addicted to cigarette, what else are you going to be addicted to? First drink of alcohol. You ought to stop and say, I need to go back home. Get right. At the temptation that leads to that first affair, at the temptation, you ought to stop and say, this is wrong. I'm going back to the Father. The opportunity for your first high on dope ought to cause you to stop and say, no. This is the wrong road. I'm going back to the Father's house. The first temptation to violate that Bible principle taught to you by mom and dad or your Sunday school teacher or your pastor ought to be a warning. Stop and go back home now. This prodigal didn't turn around. He didn't go back home. He traveled on down that same ugly road that led him directly to the pig pen. Fourthly, when he finally sought help and advice, he went to the wrong person. And by the way, so do we too often. Jesus is telling this story to a group of Jewish people. And I believe he's telling the story about a Jewish boy. And this Jewish boy got so far away from God when he had spent all, and he sought help. He went to a man who, in the far country, that fed pigs. Sunset up there. God, he lays down, wallers, crawls under the pew, takes his shoes off, puts them on. Not listening in church is a good way to start the road to the pig pen, too. But he went to the wrong person. Look at verse number 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, the far country. He went and joined himself. This guy didn't seek the prodigal out. The prodigal sought him out. He didn't go to look for a preacher. He didn't go to look for a godly man to give help or counsel. He didn't even think about going back to the Father at this time. When he needed counsel, he went to the wrong person. The person that said, "Son, why don't you just stay here and feed my hogs?" Last thing a little Jewish man or young man would want to do, if he is ever right, was feed hogs. They were an abomination. They were unclean. Gave this young man the wrong advice. He said, "Just stay out here and feed my hogs. You certainly don't want to go back home to all that authority and accountability. Just stay out here in the world and enjoy your freedom." See, there was still someone in authority over him, but it was someone who didn't care about his life. A wise man, a man of God, would have said, "Son, go home. You have a father there that loves you. Go home." This man said, "Just stay out here and feed my hogs. By the way, you can eat all you want. All you eat goes with the job." The devil's crowd always points to sin as a place to have more freedom. A place to have more fun, a way to make more money. But let me tell you, sin does not pay. Sin costs, and it keeps on costing and keeps on costing. You'll pay and pay and pay and pay. Sin does not pay you. You pay. And you keep on paying until everything is gone and you have nothing left, and it says, "Keep on paying with your tears and your sorrow and your heartaches and your pig pens until finally it says you don't have anything else. I'll take your life too." Listen to me, Christian. Young or old, you're never going to be successful in the sin business. God's not going to let you profit long in sin. Some had better check up on their salvation if you're in the sin business and everything's going right, because God's not going to let you get by with it. Be sure your sins will find you out, and it'll lead you to the pig pen at best and to the graveyard at worst. Sin never gives the individual what he wanted or what he is looking for when he left the protection of the Father. I can't tell you how many people that's told me, "Preacher, I never dreamed I would end up like this." Brother Muse gave me a letter yesterday to read. A young man that used to be a member of this church is now in prison 15 years for sexual abuse of a child. I promise you, he never dreamed his life would end up like that. I get letters every week from somebody in prison. Some of them start out this way: "Dear Pastor, you may not remember me, but I used to be a member of your church. But I made a foolish mistake, and now I'm in prison for the next 10 years. I promise you, every one of them would tell you, "I never dreamed I'd end up like this." I promise you, the prodigal didn't, he never had one dream or thought that he'd end up in the hog pen. Let me say to some of you, because of the spirit you have, critical, rebellious, because of the carelessness of your life, because of the things you're following after, I can tell you right here, some of you are on your way to the hog pen. If you don't wake up and stop and go back to the Father and make some changes in your life, your future is as dim and as sordid as this prodigal's was. And it will be until you come back to the Father. And let me tell you, this prodigal was blessed because not all of them come to themselves and get up out of the hog pen and come back to the Father. Most of them die in the hog pen. When a Christian finally makes it to the hog pen, he always has a clearer view of the Father's house. Look at verse 17, 18, and 19. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'll arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.'" Well, he saw things differently now. He saw servants in his father's house as better off, treated better, and enjoying a better life than sin had given him in the hog pen. We always see things clearer in reference to the Father's house when we're looking at it from the hog pen. You see your foolishness. You see your sin. No one had to tell him that he had sinned. He knew it. He knew it in his heart all along that what he was doing was wrong. So how did he know? He is saved. The Holy Spirit of God's job is to make it known to him. And if you can sin and the Holy Spirit don't make it known to you, then evidently you're not one of God's. Because God said the job of the Holy Spirit was to reprove of sin, of judgment. Let me say also that the pig pen will humble us, or you'll die there. He'd gotten off his lofty perch, thinking himself better than everybody else, including the Father. And he said, "Father, make me as one of thy hired servants." The pig pen, when it has done its work, or you'll die there, will reveal the greatness and the wisdom of the Father. Now, I was a 14, 15, 16-year-old one time. The older I got, the smarter my daddy got. The wiser he became. It sure would be good if we'd not be so quick stupid, but get smarter, quicker. Won't you stop and think? Won't you stop and just look? You're blessed to have a Christian home. You're blessed to have a dad or a mom that keeps you in church. If you don't have a dad or mom and you're here because somebody loves you and helps you to get here because they care about your soul. Oh, thank God that somebody cares about our soul. It ought to be mom and dad. The pig pen will reveal the mercy and forgiveness of the Father. I kind of believe this son had no doubts in his heart that if he truly came back to the Father in repentance, his Father would forgive him. I don't read here where he said, "What if he don't forgive me? What if he don't forgive me? What if he don't forgive me?" He went back home believing in his heart his Father would forgive him. I want you to notice, he didn't stop at the gate to negotiate terms with the Father. He came and threw himself on the mercy of the Father and said, "I've sinned and I'm not worthy to be thy son." And his Father stopped him in his prepared speech and forgave him. And they had a banquet and rejoiced because the son, the prodigal, had come home. Oh, child of God, there's a heavenly Father who has greater plans for your life than the devil has. There's a greater plan for living this life on this earth than the pig pens offer you. Dear child of God, I ask you to, if you're on that way, if you're on that journey, turn around and come back to your Father today. Come back to God. Come back to the altar of repentance. Come back to the Bible. Come back to the church of the living God. Don't wait. Come back today. The Father is waiting. And the Father is ready. Father, that's our message tonight.